Hi, I'm Bas Snatter and welcome to this segment of the Fanalyze podcast. In the upcoming minutes, I will be talking about the pros and cons of virtual reality. Since this is the first time doing this segment and you might not know me yet, here's a little background information about myself. I'm from the Netherlands, but currently residing in Belgium, where I'm finalizing my master's in communication and media studies, next to managing my own fan engagement consultancy. So obviously, being a communication specialist, I think from the context of media influence, audience reception, and what effect or use do media have on sports fans. Before all this, I worked at major sports events and venues throughout Australia, mainly Melbourne and the Netherlands. That's all about me for now. Let's get started. If you want to comment or discuss afterwards, please, I encourage you to do so via Twitter. Just mention either at Fanalyze or tweet me personally on at Basnater or at F engagement. All right, today I would like to discuss the application and current issues around virtual reality. From the second half of last year, it became a little bit of a hype that everybody's talking about. And as by tradition, a few early adapters in US and Australia started experimenting with it. My expectations are that 2016 will be the year of virtual reality. Not only because it's a great way to engage with fans, but also because it's very usable in many other industries as well, such as using it as a training device for pilots, heart surgeons, or special forces of the army. And that will help the adoption of virtual reality also in sports. From the communications perspective, despite all the hyped applications of virtual reality, I see it as another channel in the line of television, podcasts, and all the other communication channels, not as a separate technology. Now, working in sports, we need to figure out how we can use virtual reality to get fans engaged within the sports we market. As by tradition, we see in the US, a few sports institutions like the NBA and the NFL already experimenting with broadcasting live matches and other footage. If we look around Europe, some clubs have already started to experiment with virtual reality as well. For example, Real Madrid has the 360 degrees experience, with which you can watch the warm-up and goals in virtual reality. And in England, back in 2012, the Premier League already announced that they were experimenting with broadcasting England's Premier League in virtual reality, so that fans from other continents could also experience the matches as if they were there in the stadium. Of course, for many clubs such as Manchester United and Chelsea, who have a global fan base, this is very useful because it provides them another media channel so they can market their matches globally. In Portugal, FC Porto's home match against Benfica at the beginning of this season was broadcasted in virtual reality with 5 cameras around the pitch, including one camera next to the dugout from which it was possible to see what the coaches were doing during the match. Obviously, this produces great footage which is very wanted by fans. Close to my home, in the Netherlands and in Belgium, a few sports clubs have started to experiment with virtual reality as well. For example, Heracles Almelo, one small club that plays in the Dutch First League, they've launched an app where fans can review goals in virtual reality. Another club in the Netherlands, PSV Eindhoven, they've released a video of which their fans can relive the championship celebrations, including footage in the dressing room after the match and the bus tour through the city. I have to say, the footage looks incredible. In Belgium, they have used virtual reality at the Belgian Golden Boot celebrations, from where it was possible to join the actual celebration on stage and the press conference afterwards from only 1 meter away from the table. This made it look like the press were taking photos of you and the questions were also directed to you. Also, Todd Keflish, the Director of Information Technology at the Detroit Red Wings, thanks for sharing, Todd, told me that they are moving to a new arena in 2017 and they are using virtual reality as a preview center for their future season ticket holders so they can choose the best seating options. Now, having lined up these examples, it's clear that virtual reality has many uses. I can already fantasize about footage of standing in line with the football players on the field while the Champions League tune starts, or when the national anthems are being played during the European Championship in France this summer. Also, I think that during the Olympics this summer in Rio, there are many sports that could benefit from virtual reality. Now, on the other end, there are still some challenges that it has to overcome before it will get adopted into mainstream media consumption. To start, I'm wondering who the early adopters are or will be that will start using virtual reality and how big this segment is of the total fan base. I would give these early adapters a sneak preview in a sort of developer's face, as we know from Google and Microsoft, and engage them in making the product better, then push it out to the rest of the fan base. Also, where and when will fans start using virtual reality? Since wearing goggles, it limits the consumption of the footage quite a bit. For example, it's impossible for fans to watch the footage on the train or on the bus to work, and this is a major limitation which needs to be considered. Also, it cannot be consumed in public places. So where and when will fans use virtual reality? Technology-wise, there are still some steps that need to be taken regarding camera quality. I doubt if the mainstream fan will accept a step back in video quality, which it is now, especially since they are now already used to ultra-high definition live sports experience. Also, I think about live broadcasting, virtual reality is ideal for sports on a small court, but switching from camera to camera isn't ideal. So basketball, volleyball, handball, those kind of sports, they have a high potential for virtual reality live broadcasting, but it takes further development to make it also useful for example, football, baseball, or AFL. And last but not least, we also need to consider privacy. A 360 degrees view in the stadium is very cool, but it also means you are broadcasting most of your stadium visitors, either live or real life, especially those seated close to the camera. So far, nobody has picked up this threat yet, but it could trigger an explosive chain reaction against virtual reality. Now, what can we conclude from all this we just discussed? Virtual reality is a very promising trend that will surely take off this year, but the challenge is how sports organizations can use this to increase their fan engagement. I love to see all these experiments happening and encourage all organizations to do so, but because of these current issues that are still there, I hope it will not anonymously die the same way as 3D broadcasting did, which actually got launched under the same hype conditions. Also, I think it's interesting to think in which way we could capitalize on virtual reality without annoying the fans with a flood of ads and disturbing the experience. Will virtual reality be taken as an extra exposure channel for in-stadium sponsors and therefore upgrade current sponsor contracts? Or will it start to produce its own sponsor contracts, complete with pre-rolls and advertisements? These are still some questions that need an answer. All right, that's it for now. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Fanalyze podcast. Please remember to comment via Twitter by mentioning either at Bas Snater, at FEngagement, or via at Fanalyze. Also, you can connect with me on LinkedIn and we can discuss further topics there. For the next podcast, I will tweet out the next topic later this week. So if you want to help creating this segment, please get in touch with me there. Once again, thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of the podcast.